Hello and welcome to episode 134 of Kaiju Curry House, the show that serves up a healthy portion of kaiju goodness. At the Curry House tonight, our mains will be that Oscar. But we're going to start off with something a bit more bite-sized and say, Alex, what have kaiju been up to?
Well, thank you so much for asking me, Paul. In one of our recent episodes, we talked about Monarch Legacy of Monsters, and I confess that at the time I'd only seen two episodes. So I fully completed watching Monarch, and I have to say, I feel like I wish I could go back in time now and re-record that episode with you because as it went on, I enjoyed it more and more. And by the end of watching Monarch, I was like, you know what? This was a damn good show. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Monarch Legacy of Monsters, like a couple of months on. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean,
It
looking back,
was good.
I still enjoyed it, and I still stand by the fact that it does take a lot longer to a lot longer to get going in the present time. Whereas I was instantly invested in the more historical side of the thing, yeah.
No, definitely. I thought the historic plot line, the retrospective, I thought that was far stronger. But overall, I really enjoyed that.
Yes.
And with all of the excitement of Dune Part 2 coming out, not being in a position to go and see it right this moment, I rewatched Dune Part 1, which I thoroughly enjoyed, having loved it the first time. And I dusted down my copy of the Dune trilogy, and I've been ploughing through that. So I've been enjoying lots of sandworms. Joe, what have Kaiju been up to?
So, other than clicking refresh on my Google search of when Minus One will be out on Blu-ray for all of us to view, I have been all, I've been putting together sculpting and painting a pair of Minus One Godzillas for some co-host friends of mine, and that's kind of taken up the majority of my leisure time. I have also been counting down the days to Godzilla X Kong, Kong X Godzilla, whichever it is. I'm interested and happy to see that. Spoilers abound, it seems, on the internet, so I've been staying, kind of far away. But the other thing that I've got on my radar is the new Netflix film Damsel with Millie Bobby Brown, a Godzilla alumni, and it has a very Dragon Slayer feel to it. But I look forward to watching it and discussing it in the future. But yeah, that's me. Paul, what have Kaiju been up to?
Well, funny you mentioned that. I watched Damsel just the other day. So me and Lisa were
Paul has
watching it.
seen a dragon movie before I.
I know, shocking, isn't it? So yeah, me and Lisa were watching it, and probably within about the first 10, 15 minutes, Nathan, our youngest, he kind of watched it on the stairs for a little bit. We're like, there's a dragon in it. I was like, oh, I want to see. And then he just sat in between us and he watched the whole film. So he was just invested. And that's probably the first time I think that he's watched a non-animated film. So I'm very proud of him for watching a
Would you say
whole.
that this what age range would you cut this off at, Paul? Because I have a house full of youngins.
Well, I don't feel like there's anything particular. I mean, apart from, it's a fire-breathing dragon, he does burn some people. There's nothing
So
that
is this
bad.
like
Not gory
on
or anything.
RoboCop, you see the melting person, or is
Oh.
this kind of like collateral damage?
I'm trying. You don't. It's very bright, so you don't really see any detail of the burning, but you do see them. You do see the figures burning.
Right.
Just
You have to remind
get
us
like
of.
20 minutes ahead and see if you think it's too bad. But I say there's no. The dragon wasn't terrifying. It was a very cool design, and it was done by Patrick Titopoulos, so that's
Another
cool.
Godzilla alumni there.
Yeah, you don't see it that well. It's quite often in the shadows. So I think that might have been why he was there, because he really wanted to see the dragon, but you didn't give too much away. It was always dark for quite a while. But yeah, he enjoyed it, and he's nearly six, so he was not scared. He was engrossed. So
Just don't
yes.
play RoboCop. Just don't play in RoboCop because now
Maybe not. I don't think there's a PG version of RoboCop.
there's not. I now have that memory of that
To be
scene
fair,
with
there's a G-rated
that
version of
scene.
RoboCop the cartoon.
Oh, there is, yeah, the cartoon.
Because, you know, like the 80s, 90s fascination of taking an R-rated media franchise and turning it into like a child's G-rated Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, but RoboCop, like the uncut version with the extra gore and extended violence.
I'd buy that for $1.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah, so we watched Amazon. Happy to talk at length on another episode, potentially, on that one, Joe. And actually, just a nice little wholesome note afterwards. We were doing stuff around the house, and Nathan was just playing on the floor. I don't know what he was doing. And then he shows us he's made a dragon. And so he'd drawn a little dragon and cut it out, and he'd then drawn like its flames and done it like orange and yellow and sellotaped it to his mouth. It was adorable.
Very
so then
cool.
we were then playing with toys and his paper dragon, which was just a lot of fun. So I've watched Amazon. I've watched the Gamera anime, so I've watched the whole lot, and I thought that was really good.
It starts off quite slow though, doesn't it?
It's I think I was put off because I know he's a friend of all children and it's going to be kids, but I thought, because Pacific Rim the Black wasn't great and that was all kind of like following the kids. But this, I don't know, I just like this Gamera one. I thought it was really good. I haven't watched the films though, so I didn't perhaps enjoy it as much as others would have done.
What age would you place that? Because my I've got two kids that love the Gamera films, and
they'd at least have to be like 8 or 9 to like get what's going on in it.
So yeah, okay. Story wise, I mean they'll probably appreciate the cool monsters.
Monster fight!
Yeah, it's just the storyline.
The monster fights are some of them, like Giran, are a little bit gory.
Okay.
Because you can't have a monster with a giant knife for a head without a little bit
without
of gore.
Some gore. Yeah.
Does he move like that in the films? Because he was amazing in the anime.
So in the films, yes, but in the 1960s sort of way.
Yeah, that's what I'm just trying to picture it.
He is very leapy.
Okay. He leaps, and if you're in the way, it cuts like butter, even though it's like, I'm not sure that would work that way.
Okay, so he's not somersaulting in the air and...
No, but
there are literally acrobatics in that film.
But like Gamera is doing acrobatics. Like, yeah. There's that famous, the spinning one.
The spinning thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was...
Space babes as well.
Space. There are space babes.
Yeah, I think it did have some gore in it, didn't it, Gamera? It wasn't...
Oh,
although,
yeah.
Although it had the children
Anything
in
Gamera
it.
Gamera film has gore in it.
Yeah, no. Like, but nothing beats the gore of Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla when Anguirus gets his jaw.
Yes, that was brutal.
That was where we all fast-forwarded as children, yeah.
Yeah, we're like, okay.
You remember when you couldn't just fast-forward to the next chapter? You still had to watch it on the screen to know you were by it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just go by quickly?
Yeah.
Good times.
Did you guys see the Godzilla X Kong New Empire latest trailer?
Yes.
I thought that played a lot better than the first one. It still looks really stupid. I know it's going to be dumb, but it looks so much fun. That new trailer sold me on it.
I mean, I know that this is not what the episode's about, and there will be, in good time, an episode dedicated to it, but just kind of a throwaway thought, and I'm sure many people have written about this. I think there's going to be a lot of pomposity about the new Godzilla X Kong film, just especially now.
In the wake of...
Right, in the wake of Minus One, especially now that Minus One has got an Oscar, I feel like people will feel justified in going, well, Godzilla X Kong is a pile of crap. And I just feel like people are going to be well-armed. I think that there's a risk of people kind of going in with IMDb open to give it a negative review and just review bomb it. I think there's a chance.
To be fair, though, that's called gatekeeping, and it's not what the fandom should be about. I feel like you can raise that point, but in the same breath, we have to say, like, there is a Godzilla film for everyone. And whilst the MonsterVerse started out on a more serious tone, and to a degree, it's kept kind of like it's, you know, PG-13 kind of like action movie stance. They're not children's films. I feel like these films are intended to go with a bit of levity. And it's kind of the way that I view Jurassic Park,
mm-hmm.
Jurassic World.
Mm-hmm.
So Jurassic Park is a much darker and more somber film than Jurassic World is. Jurassic World knows its target audience is going to have a large population of young people.
Yes.
Godzilla X Kong. There's a large population of young people that really enjoy Godzilla. We grew up as young people that enjoy Godzilla, and the accessibility is such that this is a film for them. We are getting fed nonetheless.
The merch looks good. On that note, for the first time ever in my life, I have a colleague at my work. Shout out to Dominic from my job. He has texted me twice in a week being like, hey, I'm at Forbidden Planet. There's your kind of stuff. And I'm like, what on earth are you on about? And then there's Godzilla merch. And that would not otherwise be happening, but it's because of Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain about that. If my kids would like to get me something for my birthday or Father's Day, and it doesn't have to be £200 worth of X Plus, they could get a little toy for 20 quid and I'm happy.
Exactly. So everyone wins. We'll get something.
Everyone
wins, don't they? And one last thing before we move on. I watched Shin Kamen Rider.
How was it?
It was extremely brutal. I've never seen it before. It's a TV show, isn't it? Was it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Kamen Rider was a
okay. So this was like a live action Gaiva.
Yes.
Where I did not know that. I thought it was going to be more of a Power Ranger kid-friendly thing. So when he punches someone and their head explodes, I was like, oh.
That's the very fist of the North Star right there.
So it is, yeah, he is punching and there are limbs and body parts. It's just so graphic.
Really?
Very,
wow.
Very in your face. So the director is kind of quite often showing you just the person's face when they're talking. So it's quite jarring. Moving rather than see two people side by side, it's one person's face, then the other person's face, really close up. There's no monsters in it, which I thought there would be, but they're all
just to clarify. Yeah. Shin Kamen Rider is in like the Hideaki Anno one that's come out.
Yes, did last year, 2023.
Yeah. See, I got really excited about the trailer for that, and so is it a hard R? Is it quite vicious?
It's like the opening 5 minutes were extremely, was like the opening of RoboCop. In fact, that's not that bad, but it was, I would say it should be at least a 15.
Wow.
But I mean, I don't know, that's just like, not to shock you, but it's like, this is the type of thing we're going for. I mean, because it is still goofy. It's a guy that's half human, half grasshopper.
So like vaguely grasshopper, isn't he?
Yeah, so he's maybe a grasshopper, and then there's the
not quite a Beetleborg, not quite Ultraman. There we go.
Yeah, that's it. And so he's just fighting all these different augmented people who have been changed. So yeah, there's a spider one. There's all sort of insects they've been turned into, and they are looking really cool. There's some great fight scenes, really good action and stuff. I just, because I didn't know what to expect, I guess I was like, oh, this is violent, and oh, there's not actually a creature in it. It's just kind of half-mutated people, but they're mainly just in costumes.
So but on still, a sliding scale of kind of graphic violence, are we saying less Studio Ghibli and more Akira?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
It's goofy, but it is violent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If that's your cup of tea, go for it. But mm-hmm. Yeah, the directing just jarred me a bit, the way it was so up close.
Did you enjoy it as much as Shin Godzilla, given that it's the same? Okay, no.
No. I'm glad I watched it. It was quite interesting to see, and it is included on Prime at the moment. So,
all right.
Definitely worth a watch if you've got Prime. But no, I don't. It hasn't made me want to watch anything else. Whereas like Gamera, I watched that. I was like, I want to watch all the films.
Do you know, I love the Gamera films, and I'll do a recommendation for one at the end.
Okay. Right, okay, so I've been up to a fair bit. I'll shut up now.
Busy man.
Shall we move on to our mains? Shall we talk about that Oscar?
Let's do it.
So first of all, I feel like we have to say, absolutely amazing that Godzilla, a character that's been around for 70 years, finally has an Oscar. I mean, so many awards won via other channels, but the Oscars, I feel, are a very highbrow very Western group of, I don't know, just that panel doesn't just generally pick monster films.
No. Is this the first time Godzilla's even been nominated?
It is the first time Godzilla's ever
nominated, and yeah.
And normally, you know, you don't get in if you're a monster film. I think Jurassic Park, Lost World, the likes of that are about the closest that we've come in a good long time. I think that Peter Jackson's King Kong may have been nominated, may not have won, but I've said this in other channels to both of you, but to just get it on a podcast, this is a validation of our fandom, I feel. So it's one thing for Godzilla to win at the Japanese awards ceremonies. It's quite a different one to have it at the American Oscars, because everybody wants to win an Oscar. And it is one of the oldest panels of awards for films you can get. So I think that's where a lot of the prestige comes. But the fact that it's for visual effects, when the next closest budget to what is purportedly less than $15 million was $80 million, and that was the creator, it gives us a lot to feel thankful for and to feel validated for. And one was that we all grew up, I mean, it doesn't matter where you are in the fandom, Godzilla films were always treated as the cheap B-movie alternative to whatever Western studios were cranking out at the time. We all know Dracula, the Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein from the 1930s. But to say Mothra, Rodan, Godzilla in the same breath, you won't get that from a lot of Western audiences. They don't have the same hit, even though those films that were made by Universal are classic monsters and were arguably made for less money. So to have a Godzilla film win in special effects, again, for a low budget, but for people to recognize the amount of quality that you can pump into a film with that budget, with a lower staff, it's really great, because we can say, it's just like, it may be cheap, but it won the award. In many respects, you could argue that it's better. Because there are a lot of films, big budget films, Marvel, for instance, that throw massive amounts of money at their tentpole films, and they don't look as good. The physics aren't as good. The effects aren't as polished. I mean, we've had people on this podcast that work for, you know, in a Marvel studio, and they'll say things like, that shadow's not there, or that line is blurred. It was the release schedule. Like, people are working at such a breakneck pace. But again, we're talking about a Godzilla film winning an Oscar that had a smaller special effects team that had a smaller budget. And I think that it's really great when you look at the interviews that have been done, and when you read what some of the interviews from Japan are saying. Granted, the Godzilla in the film was pretty much the Godzilla, the ride Godzilla. So that template was essentially there for them to tweak a little bit. But what the real focus was on was the physical effects, you know, physical, quote unquote, because it was all digital, but the effects surrounding Godzilla, the water, the buildings falling apart, dust, debris, how Godzilla's footsteps impact the audience, or not the audience, the people running away from him, the crowds. I mean, like, all of these things are taken into account so that you don't basically Photoshop Godzilla into a cityscape and he looks out of place. You don't Photoshop Godzilla into the ocean and he looks out of place. That creature, that character, is believable because they put so much effort into everything that surrounds him. I think that's great. But yeah, anyway, that's Joe for how this felt for me. It was incredible.
Was there consideration because of the budget, or do they not even look at that? Do they just look at the effects and go, yeah, that's amazing?
I mean,
it just so happens it was done so affordable compared to everything else that it puts Hollywood to shame.
I feel like that has, I feel like a clear message maybe being sent here. I mean, it's been over and across the media how much the film costed. I mean, Toho hasn't released a specific amount. It's kind of their bag not to. But knowing what typical, films cost coming from that studio versus what's purported by, like Disney, Netflix, like all the like that, like we're in similar categories. I feel like the Oscars had a, like that panel had a message to send that said, we really need to get back to quality films. And there's another underlying message below that. If you don't put quality films into a cinema, people aren't going to go to the cinema. And there are films which are much more interesting and much more fun to view in a cinema than, say, at home on your television. And if you don't make compelling, interesting films for people to go and see in a cinema, in an IMAX, what have you, that industry is going to die. And nobody really, I don't think anybody, at least from our generation, wants to see that. And I know that people do enjoy going to the cinema, but at the same time, you have to recognize that cranking out films that have tepid quality, it's not going to be where we all want to go to the cinema to watch those. And I think the Marvel films, I mean, we all have our favorite Marvel films. We've all probably went to see one at least once now. But I think for a lot of us, the last time that we had a really great time at a Marvel movie was like years ago. Would you
Yeah, it
argue? I mean,
was
like,
Avengers Assemble, the first Avengers movie, which I think was like 2011 for me.
I was going to say Spider-Man No Way Home. I thought that was pretty cool. But I mean, like that was, I only went to see that because I was just like, oh my God, all the Spider-Men. I'm invested in this. Tobey Maguire. Oh my God. But I haven't seen a Marvel film in cinemas for ages now. And even now, like they come up on Disney Plus for free, like I'm still not watching them just because not interested. I'm not invested anymore. But to circle back, what this Godzilla film has done and how it did it, which we said in a previous podcast, this is a film that uses Godzilla as a plot point. He isn't the plot, the people are the plot. He is just a way of moving the story forward. And I feel like people went in to see the film expecting Godzilla to be the main focus of the plot, and he wasn't. And Godzilla X Kong, the monsters will be the main focus of the plot. Will it be as interesting? Is it a tentpole film? Is it just like the next Marvel thing? The next IP where we're just going to continuously crank out sequels? I mean, I'm there for it. I love these characters. I will see all of them, but it's not going to hold a candle to Minus One because, again, like I was fully invested in those characters' journeys. And for the Oscars to say, to throw out that message, it's just like you all had millions, millions and tens of millions more than this little film had, and it did just a good a job, if not potentially better than what you have demonstrated. And it did so quickly because Godzilla Minus One, it had like the same amount of production time really to go into it. I mean, when you look at the scenes, like it's a genius film because how many sets did they need? Not many. And then the time period, it would have been done on green screen anyway because the cityscape looks different. Now, doesn't it? Like you can't go to that same point in the city and expect the same buildings to be there. So a lot of this film is done digitally, and it does a fantastic job in keeping the costs down by really focusing on the physicality of those digital effects. I know I've juxtaposed a couple of terms there, but I mean, like, they've done a really good job working on the physics behind those digital effects to make them believable. And I think that's why it's won. I mean, the budget's one thing, but the fact that the whole film was done with a lot of digital effects, and yet none of us ever question, like, that city's fake. Oh, gosh. No, I mean, like, the city is fake, but mm-hmm. It was so natural, we didn't even need to focus on it. We didn't catch it. There was nothing inherently wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And normally what the brain does is your subconscious will pick up little things like no shadow, or the shadow's in the wrong place for where the sun is, or that water looks weird, or that guy's running in a weird direction or a weird way. You know, like, those are the little things that we pick out. To have a film like this with so many things going on, buildings falling, pieces of debris, massive crowds running away from Godzilla, a train with all of its pieces dangling from Godzilla's mouth, all of the light effects going on off of all of his scales. Does he have like a wet texture versus a dry texture? Just so many things. But I'm incredibly proud of that Oscar win for that team, if not for the fandom. I've talked well too much, guys. You need to start talking.
Do we need to worry at all about this? As we mentioned earlier about now, Godzilla versus Godzilla X Kong might be looked down upon because it's not as good. Is there now going to be anticipation for the next Godzilla film and it can't possibly live up to it? Are they now going to be expecting more, you know, Oscar-worthy material out of Godzilla? Is there going to be more pressure on the team? Are they going to be able to, you know, like...
Yeah,
yes,
I mean,
it's great for now, but what's the downside?
No. Sorry, I'm talking again, but like Godzilla, Shin Godzilla won Japan's version of the Academy Awards for Best Picture. This won the equivalent of Best Picture in Japan. I mean, like, we've won an Oscar, they've cracked that club, fair enough, but there's no higher pressure than winning on your home turf. I feel.
Okay.
And if anything, the average Japanese fan will probably have just as much pride in Godzilla as we, the Westerners, would. And Godzilla films, like, the great thing about Godzilla is you can use them as a plot point and take it in any direction. You can make it as silly or as serious as you want. We've got two films, like, in the same year basically demonstrating that.
Yeah.
And I feel like Adam Wingard is having fun because he grew up in like the goofy 60s, 70s era. That's what Godzilla means to him. That's where the joy comes from for him. And some people prefer like a drama that's human centered, that has real emotional stakes. But then you'll have other crowds that like want to go to a movie and want to be elevated. They want to be lifted. They want to see like a non-thinking, like fun film.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone tried to make a serious Ghostbusters movie, because there's a Ghostbusters sequel coming out this month too, would people go and see that? Would definitely people that go and see that, because some people would want to see like, okay, so like Ghostbusters, I don't know, like Italy or whatever, where you have all the catacombs and it's like a really serious problem. And mm-hmm. you have these guys doing, or gals doing like this serious thing. There was a cartoon series called The Extreme Ghostbusters. And more often than not, it was a serious plot in each one of those episodes, maybe like a moment of levity or whatever, but like they were real ghosts, they were real problems. And that was cool. And you will have the people is like, oh, I kind of fancy seeing a serious Ghostbusters film with stakes. That might be interesting. That's a different take. Mm-hmm. But then you will have the group of people that grew up with like Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Ernie Hudson, and they'll be like, over my dead body, will Ghostbusters not be like absolutely hilarious? That's what it's for.
Mm.
So you will have different dynamics because, again, Ghostbusters was meant to straddle that line. It's a horror comedy. So ghosts are inherently scary or potentially serious. So like the terror dogs and the original Ghostbusters are a perfect example. Those things are gnarly. They are scary. The librarian in the beginning of the film, scary. a whole movie where you're actually looking after ghosts or something like that, or, you know, like it kind of like a, on a Frighteners level. So for those of you who are not familiar with the Frighteners, it's a, I think it's a Kevin Smith movie, but you have
Peter Jackson.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. Kevin Smith. Sorry. Peter Jackson. Sorry. I apologize. But yeah. So like we have, you know, like a character who can see ghosts and he makes a racket out of pretending, you know, to get rid of pretending to exorcise these guys who are basically his buddies. But then along comes the ghost of a serial killer who's actually killing people as a ghost. So we've taken, you know, like that was meant to be kind of a comedy. And then over the course of that film, it gets more serious. There are stakes. There are moments of levity, but like it goes serious. So you could have a Ghostbusters film fill a very similar niche if you wanted to. People would see it again because it's something different.
Mm-hmm.
So like Marvel films, like I think that I wasn't personally a fan, but The Winter Soldier, that was meant to be like a fairly serious Marvel film, or Captain America Civil War, like Tony Stark, sorry folks, this would be a spoiler if you haven't seen a decade old movie at this point, but you know, like Tony Stark's dad and mom, I guess they were assassinated, killed, and like that's a bit dark for, you know, like up until that point was fairly kid friendly. But you can turn an IP on its ear and people will go and see it if for no other reason than it is a fresh take. So I feel like the fact that we can have a serious Godzilla and a playful Godzilla at the same time, I don't think that's a thing to get worried about, because you can think about like Frankenstein, the Wolfman, all these things, and then Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is in the same basic era. And I love that movie, but those were serious IPs otherwise. So it's what you do with it that counts. And so long as you treat it reverently and you put effort in, it will have a place in the fandom.
Okay. So let's flip that then for a second. And I'm going to ask a question to Alex, because I want to hear from you. So it's we've had Oscar-winning Godzilla Minus One. We're about to get Godzilla X Kong, which looks a load of fun. We've got Monarch, which is a kind of serious and funny, but, you know, great TV series. And we recently had the anime of Singular Point.
Mm-hmm.
With all this awesome Godzilla stuff going on, have we now peaked? Can it get better? Or is this, are we living in the golden age of Godzilla?
Speaking as a former personal trainer who had to plan his entire business model around never using the word peak, because then that implies that people get to a certain point and then leave you. I don't believe that good genres can peak. You said a long time ago, Joe, that we've entered, you know, a Godzilla renaissance, the Reiwa, as it's called, the Reiwa era of Godzilla films is just consistently good, in my opinion. It's doing lots of interesting lots of interesting things with lots of interesting films coming out and series. I don't think that we are peaking. I don't think that there's a risk that we can peak. For example, the Heisei, however you want to say it, that era of films, I don't think there was a particular peak to it. I just thought it was just a solid series of entries that was really, really good. I think collectively the Millennium era was weaker. I've always said that. I think the Millennium era of Godzilla movies are substantially weaker. But I think if you consider all of the Reiwa films so far, I think it's been great. I don't think there is a risk of peaking. And for all that I've not been excited about Marvel for a very long time, just in contradiction to my earlier point, you saying earlier, Joe, about the way you can take IPs in different directions, the most fun I've had out of Marvel in long memory was WandaVision. I thought WandaVision was absolutely fantastic, and it was not to everyone's taste. I know loads of people who said, oh, I hated that, but I love the have either of you seen it?
Yes, yeah, I've seen it all.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I think the reason why I enjoyed that so much was because it was just so different. I loved the concept of it. It tried to do something totally different. And I really appreciate the fact that, going back to Godzilla Minus One, the single proudest thing about this Oscar for me was the time in which we got this Oscar. It's the fact that this series of Oscars coincided for Godzilla Minus One alongside Oppenheimer, alongside Barbie, which, like, these films are so much at the forefront of culture at the moment. Like, everyone was talking about Barbenheimer, and it's like just everywhere you went, Barbie, Oppenheimer. And how many Oscars did Oppenheimer get? I was actually shocked that Barbie did not get more, but those two films were prolific last year. And then it's just amongst them and Godzilla Minus One, a film which, let's be honest, a lot of people who saw Barbie and Oppenheimer, they will not have seen Minus One. But I just think it's fascinating to think that there'll be some people go, oh, what was that like? I'll give it a watch. And I think that's wonderful. I think that there will be a whole generation of people whose first access point into the Japanese world of Toho Godzilla will be through Minus One. So, yeah. I've possibly not said anything half as profound as what you said, Joe, but I'm delighted. Yeah.
Well, there we have it. You're right there, Joe. Is it your voice really okay? You talk too much.
I want to ask you, Paul, your thoughts on a CGI Godzilla winning an Oscar? You're usually the one that embraces this new technology.
Yeah.
I love CGI.
I do love CGI. And you, when it's done right, in which case, you know, this was the perfect example of not a high-budget film using CGI, but CGI used correctly. As you said, it's all about the detail. It's about... not necessarily about doing a huge, big monster fight. It's about making it look realistic, which they did with the crumbling buildings, with the shaking floor, with everything. It's just such an amazing job.
Yep. So I read a cool essay, and I wanted your opinion on this. Do you think now that practical special effects and suitmation within Toho will now end, given how successful Godzilla Minus One was?
I don't think it would end.
I don't think it has ended. I feel like they can embrace what's been done by, like, say, Andy Serkis,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like our own Alan Maxson, and use motion capture.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of that, you have a performance of an individual, and there is a personality to any human performance. You can't take that away, and you cannot duplicate it. Mm. I mean, you can have an animator like Ray Harryhausen or the folks that did Jurassic Park, you know, Phil Tippett and all that. They will imbue a character with a personality, but it's not something like what you're going to get out of like an AI generated character, which you can get these days. Mm. So Pseudimation hasn't left, it's evolved. And I feel like Toho getting into mocap, they will have, you know, like an overlaying suit to which to put on the skeleton, which is in the computer system. But it's not necessarily abandoning that. And I mean, like, they in their shorts, they've used suits. They continue to use suits.
That's where I was going. Yeah, it's just going to be in a different format.
Yeah, they're embracing new technology, whilst at the same time they are respecting the spirit of what mocap is, which is basically a Pseudimation just employed differently. That's what I would argue.
Yeah, I mean, they did that YouTube show Godziband, don't they, with the little Godzilla puppets. So, you know, there's always different avenues where they can have different technology. They can have Pseudimation, they could do stop motion if they wanted. The anime, you know, there's always different kinds. I think CGI probably will be the leading way for their films going forward, especially after this. But I don't think Toho would just give up Pseudimation.
Example, Shin Godzilla, that was done with mocap.
Yeah.
Shin Godzilla was brilliant.
Yeah.
And this film, I mean, I haven't seen it said definitively, but I will imagine that they have done that. At least portions of it with mocap. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you? It's more expensive, I feel, to probably animate a character like that and to make sure it looks right than to use mocap.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting to see if they have a making of.
Oh, Paul, the ever-present researcher, is looking it up online. But
Yeah, got the
well,
look.
when we get the Blu-ray, it will tell us. But I'm sure there was something, an article about it, and they said how they had done it. I think it was they done it almost in a retro way, where it was like 90s visual effects, something about yeah. So it might be part practical, part digital.
yeah, but it's a brilliant film. It's well deserved. I feel like it opens up a lot of different avenues for Godzilla. And again, like one of the things that I really enjoyed about this film is it's a period film. I
Yeah.
think that too often IPs are modernized, and that doesn't always work. You don't always need Dracula to pick on an obvious one. We don't need Dracula in the modern day. Dracula as a character, like Vlad Dracul, we're talking centuries and centuries ago. Even the Bram Stoker Dracula is just a snapshot of that vampire's life, unlife. I don't know what to call it, but I mean, like, there are so many centuries that you could explore for that character that haven't been touched on, but everybody likes to go to modern day. And Godzilla as a creature. I mean, if we just want to talk about Minus One, the lore in Minus One, the natives were aware of Godzilla as an unmutated creature. Where's the film with the natives interacting with Godzilla and landing on that island and figuring out how to coexist? That's a film in and of itself. I mean, like, there's so many different things. Like, go back. You don't need to bring it forward. Go back. And I'm just really happy that, it was taken in that line. So yeah.
So you're happy, Joe?
He's happy.
I'm quite happy. And I will definitely be showing my family this when it comes out. Hopefully it comes out in the summer so I can get the projector up in the back garden.
So it's May
Right.
in the States, isn't it? No, sorry, May in Japan, they've said. First of May.
Yeah, but lucky for me, Japan and the United States are the same region, and my good old imported
Region one.
American players, I will be able to watch it.
But for region two, possibly June, July.
So, because they haven't announced anything, have they? But it made what, 56 million in the States. So there's got to be a release going to there.
There will be a release coming for region two and all of that.
Wonderful.
I mean, like, Shin Godzilla, you can go to any video store now and pick it up for like
Yeah.
8 quid. Easy. Minus One will have the same level of treatment.
But like, they've shown the Japanese version, isn't it? Like three or four discs. They've got the normal version, the black and white version, a making of the special features disc. I wonder if we'll get that or if we'll just get a single disc. There's your film. I'm hoping maybe like Arrow pick it up and to give us the full suite of extras, but
I feel like the distributor who released it into cinemas will get the opportunity to release the Blu-rays, DVDs, because that's what happened with Shin and Manga UK.
okay. Might start
So
printing them.
it, like, again, it was an anime firm, or predominantly anime firm, that got hold of it this time. And Shin Godzilla's special features, its features in general, are very similar to a Japanese released. So I feel like we'll get something similar to what is released in Japan on May 1st, released in the United Kingdom or in the United States, albeit there will probably be a horrific dub track to be associated with it as well.
Yes.
You know what? We'll watch it.
I won't. I can't. No. Like, oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine a
You
British
can. You'll
accent
see
or an
that's my
American
joke. That's
accent
it.
coming out in English?
Oh, it'd be glorious. It'd be
Yeah.
wonderful. It'll
Oh.
be up there with Varan the Unbelievable for the dub.
Oh gosh, we hope not.
Gentlemen, I have a suggestion. Why don't we begin to wrap up this episode? But Joe, you had an excellent suggestion just before we started recording tonight about why don't we lay out the various Oscar nominations and then we could possibly do a whole episode dedicated to that because I think that is definitely an episode in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, probably could be, certainly.
And then maybe we could even like open it up to our listeners. We could put it out on the group and have people put forward their ideas, have some engagement that way. Because I think the concept of having the various Oscar categories through the history of Godzilla.
Yeah. So what are our categories here? We've got 24 different Oscar categories. The proposed idea, ladies and gentlemen, good listeners, is that we nominate from Godzilla's film library, to keep this simple, we're going to nominate different categories and we are going to pick the Godzilla films from those categories, and we will come up with clear winners as determined by fans and ourselves, the great and educated panel that we all are. Which Godzilla films would win in each category? We're talking about best actor, best actress, best animated film, best visual effects, best cinematography, best, you know, like these are what we're talking about, best screenplay. So what we will do is we will have a nomination go out and we will compile all the answers and then we will discuss them and see who has won out in our next episode. We will have, I don't think we could call them an Oscars. We will have the Zillas, as it were.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I already have...
Gojis.
I already have a guess on best actor in a supporting role. It would be the gentleman in Godzilla vs. Gigan with the corn on the cob.
Oh, yes.
That's best supporting actor, definitely. Yeah,
I could see that. He's one of my nominations.
I could be the judge.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think it would be a lot of fun if we put this out there. I think it would be great.
We should definitely have a Razzie Award that goes with this too.
Let's do it.
We definitely need a Razzie. And we can't just let people pick Zilla. We can't let people pick Godzilla 98.
No.
There we go.
Let's park that. I think that's a brilliant idea, Joe. So if nothing else, what are we saying for this evening?
If nothing else, have a thought of your favorite Godzilla films. We will put up the categories in our group and everybody is welcome to have a say and list nominations. Mm-hmm. If we have to fill out those nominations, we will, but we will see who has won out among, or what has won out among Godzilla's massive film library. And yeah, but to recommend, I will say, for those of you who do not have access to goods from Japan, if you don't have a seller anywhere near you, there's a fella on Facebook, and he runs a shopping service in Japan. He's basically a personal shopper. I use him. It's called Japan World Goods. To give you an idea of... things that I purchased, the -1 Odo Island variant. He got it for me when it first came out, shipped to the UK. It was about 38 pounds. I found that perfectly reasonable. I wanted a Nissan Leaf toy for my little boy because he loves my Nissan Leaf. And it was a factory tour special. The only place I could find it was on eBay. That was for 60 pounds, which I was not prepared to spend. Japan World Goods suddenly became 10 quid. Good. So I will give the link to, you know, and put it in our description for this podcast video on YouTube. So, you know, you can find him on Facebook, but it's as hard as that. So if you want good merch from Japan, Godzilla merch, he lives within a stone's throw of distance of the Godzilla store. So all of these unique Japan-only goods, that is where I get them. And it's fantastic. And there's full communication and tracking and all of that as well. So, hot diggity dog. Alex, if nothing else.
If nothing else, I am going to steal... Paul's idea, given that, didn't you just watch Shin Kamen Rider?
Yes.
I'm really curious about that now. So I'm going to say that I recommend that you go out and watch that, because I was so excited when the trailer came out, and that will be my own homework. I'm going to go out and watch Shin Kamen Rider. And then to recommend something that I've actually seen, Paul, go and watch some of the classic Gamera movies.
I will. I want to now.
Do it, yeah.
Gamera the Invincible and Gamera versus Gauss.
I've seen the Invincible.
Gauss, yeah. Gamera, yeah. Gauss, yeah. Amazing. I mean, you know, they're messy, but they're great fun. They're wonderful films. They're wonderful films. So, Paul, if nothing else.
Right. So, yeah, if nothing else from me, I'll be saying watch the Gamera anime. And if you're not into it at first, keep going. Obviously, Joe, you thought it started off a bit slow. It's only, I think, 6 episodes. It might be more.
Yeah, I will say this to any skeptics. The first episode, I was a doubter, but I let it go to episode 2, and I was rewarded for my efforts.
There you go.
There you go.
That's it. So, yeah, definitely watch Gamera Rebirth if you have Netflix. And if you're watching this, you might notice my background picture, which is a Matt Frank artwork there of Godzilla holding an Oscar. So it's just a great way to celebrate that. If you like it, you can buy a print on his site. It's mattfrankart.bigcartel.com. And I'll put a link in the description below. But just a fun way to celebrate the success that we're all feeling here.
Definitely.
Joe, would you like to send us off?
Folks, as always, thanks for listening in. Or if you're on YouTube watching, please like, comment, subscribe, do what you can. We use what little monetary goods that we get from our subscription services to do good work in the world, like donating books to schools and things like that. So please, give us the nod. But we really appreciate you just joining in with us. So as always, keep it kaiju. Thank you.